day.
You are listening to a podcast.
But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Hiya! Or this.
What the?
This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast. It's Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Showing up when he wants to, because he's on Texas time.
What's going on? You know what? Fire me, Ted, okay? Actually, it was funny. I was laying in my bed reading a philosophy book that literally is about like how to not care what other people think. And then Ted texts me and he's like, yo, are you coming to the podcast or not? I'm like, oh, it's like full scramble. And now we're casting. Let's rock and roll.
All right. Even in all the way from the desert, Matt Conner, the producer of CTP. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, Ted, I'm doing good. It was good to talk to just you for 15 minutes there.
Damn, bro. I'm not okay. You can cut that if you want.
No.
Let me just start with this question. Have either of you gentlemen ever been in a small aircraft? And I don't mean like a small propeller plane with, you know, two rows on one side and one on the other. I mean, four chairs and a propeller up front.
Yes. Only one time. And it was awesome. Six chairs, propeller, float plane over UW Stadium, 400 feet high. Because there's no cloud cover.
So this weekend, I went out to Lopez Island to hang out with some people. And I went up to Bellingham. First of all, Bellingham's a lot of fun. And then went to San Juan Airlines. And me and the King of the North, we're going to hop on a plane and fly over to Lopez.
That's so cool.
Friday was, frankly, boys, it felt like fall. It was windy. It was rainy. We go to get on this airplane, and I take a picture of it. And the guy goes, taking a picture, huh? And I go, I've never been on a plane this small. And he goes, oh, you picked a hell of a day for it. So, like,
that was the pilot said that?
The real pilot, because I think there was a trainer pilot, too. There was two pilots.
Then, you picked a hell of a day for it. All right.
Right? So I'm already like, all right. You know me, like I just, you know, I tend to go for stuff. And then as we're taking off, that was the other thing. They're like, ceiling's pretty low over there. We couldn't land on Orcas later. Hopefully we can get you into Lopez. Like,
oh my God. Right, cool. And also you and the King of the North are both big guys, you know, like, oh
yeah.
Wear your seatbelt, fella.
I know. And he's like, make sure to keep it on the whole flight. Like, why would you undo a seatbelt in a plane this small? You'd have to be insane. So the flight out there, just take it off. It's fine. But I mean, it's a little bumpy, right? And it's like raining. And like, you know me, like I'm trying to be cool. You know, obviously we say King of the North, talk about Brad Cash. He does it all the time. So he's loving life. Again, I thought I was being cool, but like when we landed, he was like, man, I haven't seen anything as stiff as you in that plane in a long time. There's one picture and I'm just like staring straight ahead, just like getting off this plane. And then we land, he goes, did you set a timer? And I was like, yeah.
Just white knuckling it, huh? How long was this flight?
Dude, it was only 15 minutes, but it was... The ceiling was low, and I didn't realize this. Like, when you're over the open water, smooth. But when you get over one of the islands, because the way the wind goes, you get these shears. So then you're kind of going up and down a little bit. And look, I get it. People that fly those planes are used to it. But there's like buzzers going off and everything else. Again, I did zero research, and then. I did take a picture and send it to GD, and I was like, flying over your island. And then, like, when we land, Brad's like, I think that guy was a training pilot. And I was like, I picked up on that. I did not want to ask. But, hey, we're on the ground. Everything's good to go.
It's like, why doesn't he have the little gold wings? Dude, that's crazy. Well, I feel like also people don't realize, who haven't been on those small like float planes and puddle jumper planes and even like small aircraft with wheels, is that like it's just kind of a metal box with a big engine on the front. Like that, yeah. There's not really much to it. It doesn't feel like a, you know, an Apple product like an Airbus does. Like it's just, you know, it's just like some sheet metal and a propeller. And like there's nothing between you and, you know, the 3,000 feet to the ocean.
Right. And like my one buddy, I get it. He was kind of joking around. He's like, don't end up like Richie Valley. Like, so there's been jokes going around. And then again, I don't know what I envisioned in my brain. It just wasn't that. And it, like, again, it was fine. The pilots knew what they were doing. We got there, it was safe. But I'm with you. I was like, man, I should have done a little research. So then you kind of get, you get to the island.
Were you picturing stewardesses, escargot?
Well, trust me, the beverage service sucked.
It's like, we got a cooler in the back. Right. Don't take off your seatbelt.
I still fired off a beer buddy too. But like, I was on a group thread with like three of my buddies. And like, before we took off, I said, just for the record, boys, I love you.
Like, honestly, oh, man.
And then we flew back Sunday afternoon, crystal clear. That one made me nervous. That plane picked us up last on Lopez. There was already, this one was a little bit bigger. There was already three people in there. And there's no scale at the San Juan airport, or at the Lopez airport. Guy's just like, what are you weighing? I was like, honestly. And he's like, well, I hope you're being honest, man.
Yeah. Like, it's like all of our lives depend on this. How much do you weigh?
But he's like, all right, Ted, you're up front with me. So the ride, the ride is smooth. And I swear to God, again, shout out to San Juan Airlines. Like riding over in the sunlight, that might have been some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the pilot, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like I shot a video, like he looked like what a pilot should look like. Right. And I was like, you do this all the time? He's like, yeah, man, I moved here just to do this job. I was like, nice.
And then, that's what you want.
Right. Then when we land, there was a pilot from Friday and he goes, how you doing, man? I'm like, actually, that one was pretty good. He goes, yeah, he's probably better than I am. And I was like, there's also not weather.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not complaining. I survived. But that's funny that you were nervous enough on the first flight that he checked back in on you on landing. Like that says a lot.
As soon as they opened that door and I stepped in there, I think everybody on that plane, like, I don't know what the look was on my face. It was like, oh, big boy has no idea what he's getting into.
All right there, big dog.
Yeah, and then when you get to the island, so people that don't know, obviously you could take a ferry to this island, but it's the smallest of those three, or largest, but like there's not much on this. Right, there's not a lot of people. It's rustic. So like I'm talking to people at the Lopez Islander at the little resort there, and people are either like, "Oh yeah, man, don't sweat it. I take them all the time," or they or one guy looks at me and goes, "I don't get in flying coffins." People were just split. You're either for flying in small planes or not. And then one guy was like, you know, if that crashes, you're done. I was like, well, it's water. He's like, yeah, that's not going to matter.
Yeah, it's like hitting concrete at that point. Wait, yeah, so people are very divided because I was trying to convince the mayor to take flying lessons with me. And he was like, well, they don't call them lawyer killers for nothing. I was like, well, Jesus Christ, so you're out. Fair enough.
Well, and then as I'm telling the story, I was telling some other friends, I'm like, oh, man, you know me. I was a giant pussy on there. And our one buddy just looks at me. He goes, but you're going to take it back on Sunday, right? And I go, well, yeah. And he's like, all right, so it's not that you're that big of a pussy. Because you were just really scared. I was like, that's a good way to put. The story sounds better when I say I'm being a giant pee. But, yeah, I was like, oh, no, I'm still in. What did King of the North say? We land. He goes, makes a man feel alive, doesn't it? And I'm like, yeah, I feel alive.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, exactly. It's like that old monster truck commercial, like, you'll pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Yeah. And then when you're up front, man, there's still a yoke in front of me and, like, pedals and stuff.
Oh, you were in the front, like, next to the pilot?
On the way back, yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought you were just talking about, like, the front row of seats, which is, like, essentially, you know, in the pilot's back pocket. Oh, man. No.
I was the co-pilot. I mean, I wasn't, but I was up there. So God. I'm like trying to take videos and I'm just like, please, God, Ted, do not touch anything and hurt this plane.
Oh my God. Now that is wild. I mean, like if that pilot has a heart attack or something, like you're on, you know, it's you.
I didn't even think about that.
How could you not? That'd be the first thing I think about. It's like, oh, one aneurysm away. And like, I'm a trial by fire pilot. Like, do I put this thing down in a field? Do I try to like take it to SeaTac? Like, oh my God, bro.
We would have been flying for a while.
Yeah. But I mean, at some point you got to put her down and it's just like, you know, the faster, the better if he's having a seizure, like, oh, getting talked through it by what's it called? The tower. Jesus, Ted, local news hero, man saves six landing plane, loses one.
Oh, and the people behind us, you could tell were a little highfalutin. I think they had come from Orcas. I was just like, and the one guy was just like, I don't want to, I don't know. He looked like he was on a mission going somewhere. I was just like, all right.
Jesus.
I know. But with that said, again, it was awesome. I don't know that I'd do it in the winter after the Friday experience, but in the summertime, I would highly recommend. And they fly out of Bellingham and somewhere else. But yeah, and it, dude, the flight's 15 minutes. So it's awesome. Yeah.
And truly majestic. I mean, that's what I was going to say is Kenmore Air also does that out of like Washington and Lake Union. And man, it is some of the most incredible view of Northwest scenery. I'm with you, Ted. It's a moving experience. And same, yeah. We had kind of a low ceiling. So they brought us right over UW Stadium. And then when you get out to the islands, I mean, you know, I hesitate to use the Texas term God's country, but it is a, you know, one hell of a paintbrush. I mean, it's just an impressive piece of nature, and it makes you feel so small and also connected.
Yeah, dude, when we landed, we were at the gas station. I thought I was going to tear up. I just looked at Brian. I said, that might be the most beautiful thing I've ever seen with my own two eyes, flying across those islands and over the water. I felt like the dad at the end of Rudy when he's just like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yep. I'm right there. We're aligned for sure. It's crazy. It's hard to describe, honestly.
Yeah. So you guys have been over there to the Lopez Islander Resort, but we've only been in the winter. Dude, summertime, it is awesome. There was a live band Friday night. Also, they do a very good job with their chicken wings. Small, crispy. I was impressed. some are calling them the best of the West Coast.
Oh,
so the Mississippi.
Damn, shots fired.
And then Saturday, it's me, King of the North, the mayor. He had come over Friday night like a peasant on the ferry.
What a loser.
That's what I kept saying to people, like, stop calling people peasants, please. I was like, all right. Yeah, the three of us. I was gonna say, you know, got up, got some coffees. We hit the farmer's market, mixed it up with the locals. Got some crab cakes at a little cafe. It was kind of fun. Just like, look at the three fellas hanging out. And then, I was going to say, we like, because the pool was open and everything. And then, yeah, we get back down there. And our friends from the Scoblins are playing at the resort on Saturday night. So it was all, I didn't even really think about, like, I had texted Josh for like, like Anton and Heather. Like I saw them. They're like, what in the hell are you doing over here? I was like, oh, I've been here for a day, man. Took the time to plane.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Wait, so when you guys got to Lopez, did you land on a runway or on water?
On a runway.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, Lopez, I think, is my favorite of the islands, to be honest. Sorry, GD.
Yeah, well, it seems like from what I can tell, there's bigger houses and kind of crazier money on Orcas. I would say San Juan Island with Friday Harbor has like the coolest stuff, right? Because Friday Harbor, it seems like there's a ton of restaurants and bars right there in the harbor. And then on the other side, Roach Harbor is pretty, pretty beautiful as well. But yeah, Lopez, and that's something I was saying, like Saturday night, right? Because I didn't realize, like, it's not just the hotel rooms. You have people over there camping, there's trailers, and like, you know, they call it island time or whatever, but people also cut a little loose because it's like it takes some effort to get there. You didn't just drive an hour and be like, oh, we're here.
Yeah, and it feels out in the islands, it feels very like old school Northwest too, which I like about it. Yeah, you're right about people bawling on orcas. I just remember this one story. I was talking to this guy. He works for a family out there, and he's worked for them on their property every day for 5 years. He has never physically seen them. What? That's how big this property is. He has never seen them in 5 years.
That's wild.
Yeah. And I can tell you guys the family after we get off this, but they, well, I'll say this. They built the Space Needle. People could figure out who it is, but crazy.
Yeah, it is wild. Well, one of the original guys that I met, and he started out in Roach Harbor like decades ago. And I was like, what are you doing over here? And he was like, I kind of like Lopez because it reminds me of what San Juan Island used to look like before it got kind of popularized. So I was like, no S.
Yep, totally agree, man. Lopez is the most like retro version. Lopez and also Vashon is still pretty cool because like a lot of people went to Bainbridge and got kind of busy. But yeah, I agree. Well,
and then, of course, my one buddy. You guys know my buddy Troy, right? But like he lives in Anacortes. He's got a place up in Glacier by Mount Baker. So I land and I text him. I'm like, this is insanity. He's like, that's the only way to do it. Proud of you. I was like, of course. He's down with small plane flying.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, all day. Well, and that's the thing, man. Those small planes get a bad rap, but at least the float planes, you know, they have a huge, I could be wrong. I believe they have a very strong, like, power to size ratio. And there's some pilots, some of those Alaskan bush pilots, I mean, they can take off in just absolutely tiny, what looks like a puddle to you or I. And same with putting them down because they get so much friction when they land. I mean, some of those guys, if they get the wind right, you know, it's pretty impressive what they can do in those small planes. So yes, they are more dangerous, but also kind of like a manual in a car. Like you can kind of do some things that you can't in the big dogs, you know, especially if you really know your machine. That's my impression. I don't fly, so to be clear.
Well, not only that, but like when you're in an airport as small as the one is on Lopez Island, I forgot. I sent you guys some pictures. That airport, man, there was like two dudes. We were BSing with them, and I was like, is that your guy's plane? And I mean, there was room for two of them, and that was it. It looked so tiny. And they were like, yeah, man, we just take it around. Nice days like today and cruise around. I didn't say it to him. I'm like, you guys are insane. I don't know that you could pay me to get in that little thing with you.
Dude, was it a not airport?
What does that mean?
A not airport is like the first one I went to was in the Bocas del Toro, but it's like they get one flight in and out a day. And like when you walk in, the security guard just gives you one look up and down, gives you the nod, and you walk out on the tarmac. Like there's no real security, like pat down, or they don't run your bag through anything. It's just like a guy, and he either nods you or doesn't nod you.
I don't know that I even saw a guy. Like we landed, like people were just kind of hanging out. There's like a bathroom and a little office. Like nobody asked me anything, and you just gotta sit out there and wait. And then your plane comes in. I mean, I think the tower they talk to has got to either be in Bellingham or I don't know.
Oh, but wow. Like,
yeah, like people just sit there. Like there was this private seaplane that was gorgeous and a monster. But like, yeah, me and we were just walking around looking at him. And then that guy had like his kids with him and everything. And looked like they were just like grabbing snacks. He closed down some hatches and they took off. I was like, all right.
Yeah, dude, some people just treat it like a minivan. You know, family of four.
Yeah, it was absolutely wild. Also, because now I'm small plane guy, I talked to a couple in the bar, and then we saw them the next day at the pool with their kids. And the guy works, he works on the ferries, but he volunteers at that Snoqualmie, like historic railroad out there kind of by North Bend. That's like a steam engine.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm like, no kidding. I was like, how'd you learn? He goes, you fill out a form and we'll teach you. And I'm like, oh, has Ted Smith become a steam train engineer?
Dude, it is pretty cool around like they do the Santa train. So you like ride the train to go see Santa. It's pretty magical for kids, man. I bet you'd have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And he was saying, he's like, we don't run coal anymore. You know, it's just wood. And then when I saw him that night in the bar having a few drinks, I was like, what about July 4th? can we run coal then just for one day? He's like, I'll ask.
We're rolling coal, baby.
Hey, they can have fireworks. We can roll some coal.
Dude, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And also, just shout out to the Scoblins. Like, the band Friday night was good, bunch of covers and stuff. But, like, Saturday night, man, I mean, right? And keep in mind, there's people that are parked in this harbor just for, like, weddings and stuff. Like, that dance floor was packed, dude. I was out there for the second set, and, like, it was unbelievable. Like, I don't know that I've been on a dance floor that crowded in years. I mean, there must have been, like, 40-some people out there.
Oh, nice. And ska music's fun to dance to also.
It is. At first, I was like, I don't really know how to dance to ska music. Then it's like, I don't know. Just kind of wiggle your body. Do something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know the musical terminology, but it's, like, bouncy enough that you can dance to it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Met a bachelor party out there. Those guys, they were like, Ted Smith. And I was like, yeah, man. They were like, oh, great to meet you. And then I was like, had some crab cakes today. I couldn't find any Dungeness, though. The one guy's like, oh, my God, I wish we'd run into you yesterday. I go, what do you mean? They're like, we have so many Dungies at our house, we're tired of eating them. I'm like, oh, you're killing me.
I am your guy.
Wait, I'm like, and I'm wearing a hat that has a blue crab on. And I'm like, did you have Old Bay? And the guy, and the one dude's like, I'm actually from Northern Virginia. I steamed him up proper. I'm like, my man.
Let's go, boys. Oh, man. Wow.
So what is, so I know it's wild. I won't go through the whole story here, but what's the last crazy offer you guys had?
I don't think I quite understand the question.
The first night I was there, we were talking to a lady, very well put together, probably 10 years older than I was. As she kept drinking, she was falling apart, getting a little emotional. At one point, she just looks at me and she goes, my husband doesn't f*** me anymore. I was like, oh,
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Ted.
Then she went in to tell me and somebody else how much she loves giving oral sex, but she didn't say oral sex. But I'm like, fellas, it was like 7:30. I'm like watching this, and I'm just like, can you wait 3 hours to like give me this crazy offer? Like,
yeah, plot twist: pilot's wife Ted has to take the ferry home. Wow, wait, is this at the bar at the Islander?
Yes.
I love that bar. That is the only, for the record, that is the only place that Ted has left me at the bar. Like, he's like, I'm leaving, true. And I'm just like, boys, I'm good. You go do whatever you're gonna do. Like, I'm staying, I'm holding down this bar. And Ted's like, somebody was trying to convince me, and Ted's like, no, let him. I've never seen it before. Right. So was this woman good looking? What are we talking?
Yes, you're exactly right. It was the mayor. And he like went to lean back in. I just put my hand up. I was like, let him have this one.
Yeah, he's like, got it. Let the boy cook.
Only once ever said, just leave me in the bar. And I was like, we're leaving him in this goddamn bar.
Yeah, I've never given you the wave off. And I was like, I'm good.
For the record, the Lopez Islander has a tiki bar in it with a stage and everything.
Yeah. Was that 2023, 2022? We're out there.
Yeah, it had to be 7 years ago and 6 years ago. Or 6 years ago, I think. Yeah, and five. Because I think the first year we went, Taryn was pregnant, and Barrett's turning six this year.
Wow. That's wild. But yeah, that is a great bar. Was this woman good looking? Still looking for an answer.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
From Southern California originally, as I said, she was put together well. Like, I wasn't against it, just it caught me so off guard. And truthfully, I probably only had like a couple beers in me. I didn't know how to react. I was like, yeah.
Ted, dude, seeing you uncomfortable always gives me deep laughs.
Yeah. You can hear it right now. This is what I sound like. I was just like, yeah, I don't know what to say to this. Like, it's so early. Plus, it just seemed like if I did, like, she was going to be in my pocket the whole weekend.
Yeah, you're like, I appreciate you throwing it out. First of all, I'd like to get that out there. And I am interested. However, it's 7 p.m. I have friends here. I have a life to live. Got a flight to catch. Like, you know, and it's a small island. Like, he will find you.
Correct. Correct. It just it was one of those that seemed too good to be true and probably was full of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say those two things are almost certainly accurate. But anyway, makes for a fun night, you know?
Yeah. So any crazy propositions you guys have had lately?
Jesus, Matt, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, the last one was a couple of years ago. I was playing, it was in October, because I was playing golf at a public course that was open. And I was playing alone, and then I caught up to this group of three guys that were just raging, having a good time. And I was like, no worries, guys, like, play with us. And we just had a great time, and they're all drinking and smoking weed and stuff. And then they're like, you want to go to strip club later on, like, the 17th hole? And I was just like, we got some really good coke. And I was like, God damn it, dude. Like, that actually sounds like the perfect storm of opportunity, but I passed. I remember just being like, I think Tyler was out of town too. And I was just like, I just wanted to come home and relax. Like, I felt so old all of a sudden. I was like, this desert's getting to me. Yeah. No, I think I'm gonna sit. Oh, I don't know what I was reading or watching or whatever, but like, yeah, there was something like, yeah, no, it's cool. I'll just sit at home by myself.
Oh man,
yeah.
For me, I also had a weirdish offer, but I said yes. So, one of our neighbors here in Austin, is a photographer, and we kind of know him at the time. Now we're friends, but you know, he reached out and he's like, hey, you know, or I know this is kind of random, but your wife, girlfriend at the time, is beautiful. We do a lot of these sort of shoots, like photography shoots. Can I send you some photos? I'm like, all right, like, not really sure what to do here. Sends me some photos of his long-term girlfriend. They've been together like 8 years or so. And she's like, you know, in some pretty revealing outfits. And he's like, I want to do a shoot of her and your wife together in the sewers beneath Austin. And I'm like, huh. It's like, that's really random. I was like, I don't know. What do you think? And I ask her, my wife, and she's just like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I don't really care. Like, all right. So the two girls go and they do a shoot. I went down partway through to check in on them, but honestly, I made it like 10 minutes and I actually think I was coming to do the podcast. So I had to leave all early. Right. So they do the shoot. It was cool. And then he gives us like this framed, actually, honestly, I have it close. I could grab it if you guys want, but it's like a framed set of like a bunch of the photos from that shoot, and they came out amazing. You know, obviously, like, my wife is gorgeous and his girl is very good looking. And so it's just these incredible professional quality photos of them in the sewers beneath Austin, like this kind of cool scene. And it just, for some reason, just didn't seem weird at all. Like, only in retrospect, I'm like, that's a very weird offer to give someone, except that truly we don't care and we're open to anything. And so it kind of worked out and we're friends with them now. I mean, I'm going to see them in, I saw him on the elevator today, but I'm going to see them at Burning Man. So all good.
Yeah. I feel like that's better. Like, Matt and I's were like, they could have been fun nights, but they also were loaded with trouble.
Yeah. Well, this, I mean, at the time we didn't know, like, you know, are these people like swingers? Is this some like weird tactic? Like, you know, we didn't really know him. Like, who asks? It's like, hey, can I take, you know, semi-nude photos of your girlfriend? But it actually all worked out. It was above board.
In a sewer. That's what threw me off too. Like, were they dressed as Ninja Turtles?
Dude, actually the sewers are pretty cool. So people play punk shows down there. Like, that's what all the high school kids are doing now. Like, punk and rock is coming back big time. If you guys didn't know, you heard it here first. And they're doing punk shows in the sewers. But it's like, you know, they get flash floods here. So most of the time these things are all dry. It's all these big drainage tunnels beneath the city. So just think like concrete tunnels covered in graffiti. All right. Really cool.
Not actual sewage system.
Well, I mean, it's impermeable surface runoff. So I think technically it would be a sewer system. Yeah.
Okay. But not like
human waste. No.
Yeah.
He didn't pop a manhole cover and then be like, all right, ladies, follow us down. A bunch of
turds and old shower water.
No, but you could get there via manhole cover. They walked on a path, but you could get there via manhole cover. I think we don't really have an equivalent in Washington because we don't get like the, you know, but it's like, Matt, kind of down by you in the desert, you know how you guys have like those kind of flood trenches?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That thing we ran through by your house. It's like that, but semi covered.
Got it.
So anyway, but it all worked out.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe I should have.
Maybe you should have said yes.
I have a bigger smile on my face than I do tonight. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt in the cop topic? All right, welcome back. Thanks to all our sponsors out there. Things get stinky. Call Pinky. And if somebody hits you, call the advocates. All right, Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
Yeah, Liquid Courage. Happy Tuesday, gentlemen. Cop topic. What is something you used to buy that was cheap but is now crazy expensive? Answer, 2 liters of pop. Nice. I could tell you're a true Northwesterner with pop. As a youth, I used to rifle $100 2 liters of basically anything, especially the good Lord's nectar, Mountain Dew. Now that I'm deep in marriage and have 2 non-soda drinking kids of my own, I haven't bought one in years. Just out of curiosity, I checked the price of one the other day and almost punched a stalker out of pure shock. $2.79 on sale, normally $3.49. Pop already has a bananas markup, but damn, paying $4 for a Coke Zero at Bob Evans is bad enough, but not my formerly sacred 2 liter. That being said, if a large price increase on a product I haven't bought in years is the worst part of my day, I'm living a pretty good life. Not driving down the strip in a convertible with my non-hooker girlfriend, good, but still can't complain. Hope the end of the summer is treating you boys well. Thanks again for the episodes, whenever they may come. Ross W., Toledo, Ohio. That's a great email.
Speaking of non-hooker girlfriends, Mike Hawk told a story on the men's room like a week or two ago about he once, like, you know, when you first start dating somebody, like you haven't had that conversation yet. So he just kind of gets nervous and introduced his now wife as his lady of the, and this is my lady of the night.
Oh my God. Are you serious, dude?
Yes. And I was like, I know exactly what you meant. As I once did it to a girl and she was like, don't ever refer to me as your lady friend again. And I was like, well, it's only been a couple months. I don't know if we decided what we are.
Yeah. Lady of the night. I mean, I don't think that means what he thinks it means. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely just said it to say it and just, yeah. Cause I've also been on the other end where I introduced a girl as my girlfriend once. And then like we walked away from the other people. She was like, just for the record, I'm not your girlfriend yet. I was like, all right. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, that one didn't last too much longer.
Yeah, that's a tough L to pre-commit. But yeah, I mean, what are you supposed to say? Like, it's weird when you're like, this is my friend. It's like, all right, so you guys are banging or what are we talking about here?
Yeah. Well, I try to be specific too. Like, if I was out with, say, like Cobb, if I was out with your wife, I would introduce her by her name and within a minute or two be like, it's my buddy Cobb's wife. That's how I know her.
Right? Yeah, right.
Like, I feel like I throw, like, basically, I just know as I have to do it. I feel like I do it the most with Taryn, especially at bars. If bartender's like, oh, I was like, this, I work with her, friends with her husband.
Just the instant defense. I like it. Well, Ross, that's a great email. And the one thing I was going to say is I had a deluxe double stack today at Wendy's. I think I'm officially starting the double stack index, which is another index for inflation. You know, it's getting out of control. I mean, Texas, the gas is $2 and the double stacks are, you know, to be honest, I didn't look today, but last time I checked it was $3.39, 99 cents 20 years ago. Explain that to me at 3%.
Don't even get me started on the bean burrito.
Oh, dude, the number is just, the math is not mathing on the government issued CPI. I got to say it. That's my soapbox, whatever. Oh, and the Fed. I'm just kidding. Hey, gents.
I don't know why. Every time I'm like, that bean burrito is not like a dollar. And it's like, no, it's just not. I think it's like $3 or $4 now. But like in my head, it's still a dollar.
Yeah. Dollar menu just doesn't exist anymore. It's
also
crazy.
Weird shout out. Taco Time. It's featuring a chicken Caesar wrap now. Well played, Taco Time. Well played.
RIP the Mexi Tots. Mexi Fries.
Right.
so we
they were never they were never fries or Mexi.
Hey, gents. First thing that popped into my head. Oh, sorry. This one has a huge photo, so it's tough to read the font. First thing that popped in my head for things that used to be cheaper but now is expensive is saltwater aquariums as a hobby. When I was in middle school, my dad got into it, which led me to start my own tank. At first, the cost of fish and coral didn't seem too bad, but around 2016, fish and coral spiked in price. A fish that cost $20 a few years prior now costs $50 to $60, and coral did the same thing, so I ultimately got out of it. I'd love to do it again, though. People say they are a lot of work, but honestly, it wasn't that bad. The larger the tank you have, the easier the upkeep. Here's a picture of my 75-gallon I put together in high school, if it piques your interest. Damn, that honestly, boys, I know you can't see this. That is a sick fish tank. It's like a full-on, like, neon fluorescent, like, coral reef. This honestly, I mean, dude, I'm not just saying this because you wrote in. This might be one of the most beautiful fish tanks I've ever seen in my life. This thing's crazy. Especially that, like, iridescent, I don't even have the right language, that anemone thing. Is this thing under a black light or something? I don't know. This is... Boys, I don't even know how I can... can I share this in our little chat? Can I show you my screen? Nope, not turned on. All right, well. Then request. What does that go to? I have to request Matt?
Me?
Nope, you're requesting me. I'm allowing it.
Okay, can you guys see?
Nope.
Not yet.
Are you sharing it?
I literally don't know how to do that. Oh, okay. Wait, Google Chrome? Maybe if this is porn, sorry in advance. Did that work?
Oh, see what you're into.
Yeah. Can you see it?
Nope.
Gah. All right. This is probably some of the worst podcasting we've ever done. Oh, yep. And I got to open my system. I got to change private and security to grant access. I guess you guys are never going to see the best saltwater fish tank I've ever seen. For that, I'm sorry.
You could forward
we're in the same boat as all the listeners now. It's kind of... people love this.
Oh, there it is. She's beautiful.
Wow, dude. Wow.
Y'all see that little crazy alien looking thing? Like, that's the thing. We probably also sound like ingrates talking about an aquarium anyway, right? Like, we don't know any of the terms. Like, see that little kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like little jelly looking.
Oh, we can't really see it. We're just BSing.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm saying like none of us even know the words to talk about an aquarium. It's like,
I just know the rocks look like nerds.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We all have to use like stupid metaphors. We're like, it's sort of like a garbage truck, but like if it was underwater for like 8 years. It's like, you guys don't know the words of any of this stuff. Like reef was the best I had. Reef and anemone, which it clearly was not even an anemone. So anyway, yeah, now that no one can picture that, let's move on.
Smooth.
PT certs. Maybe this is something we'll know more about. Hey, guys, this is really for Matt, and you don't have to read it on cast. Okay, I'm going to just hit unread and send it to Matt. Okay.
By far the best email segment we've had.
Yeah, well, you know, they just keep getting better.
Finally tuned machine.
All right, FL, FT, LT, and Cobb Topic. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land. All the land.
Long-time listener here. I've been tuning in since I moved back to Washington over 11 years ago, near the end of the year of the hustle. This is my first time writing in. Dude, these are my favorite. I love when you've been listening to 11 years and this guy's never sent us an email.
Yeah,
like what did we say that finally possessed him to be like, you know what? Like, they don't send any spam. They don't try to market anything to me. Like, I will email these guys. The recent conversations around cutting back on alcohol, combined with the Cobb topic, finally convinced me to write in. I'm proud to share that as of June 5th, I'm 2 years California sober. I've dropped 50 pounds, feel healthier than ever, and discovered a passion that's become both exercise and therapy, cycling. It's so much more therapeutic than I ever could have imagined.
Yeah.
Dude, nice.
Lopez is a big island for cyclers.
Oh, yeah. And also, I feel like any repetitive exercise like that, like for me, it's running, but cycling too, your mind just kind of starts to wander because your body's occupied and you do kind of, it is very therapeutic. I totally agree. Plus, like with the serotonin and dopamine release, yeah, solid. I got into it last July and it's completely transformed my daily life. I'm currently riding over 250 miles a week with the goal of hitting 10,000 miles this year. Beyond the physical, I can tell why you've lost all that weight. Jesus, bro.
Damn.
Beyond the physical benefits, the sport itself is awesome. I started by watching the Tour de France, Unchained on Netflix, and now I find myself waking up at 4 a.m., logging into an Australian VPN just to catch the, I don't know how to say it, Giro d'Italia, like some obscure sports nut. Oh, Ted. He didn't say it, I did. Cop topic aside, I just want to say it's hard to overstate how much this podcast has meant to me over the past decade. There were some really dark times when the podcast was the one thing I genuinely looked forward to each week. Oh, man, that's great to hear. Thank you for saying that. And I'm sorry you were going through dark times. I originally came over from the men's room because I wanted more Ted in my life. Don't we all, brother? Ted, you come across as one of the friendliest, most down-to-earth people out there. Your zest for life is infectious. Keep doing what you do. You're making this crazy world a better place. I may not drink anymore, but sharing a joint with you and Matt is on my bucket list. Cobb could join too, but we're rolling a fatty, so he better be ready.
He'll take one hit.
Yeah, I'm a one-hit guy. I'm sensitive.
Who's that from?
We're still rolling. We're not done. Oh. I was giving you guys a chance to comment like a good email reader.
Well, I was going to tell him, watch Breaking Away.
For cycling content?
Yeah, it's from like the late 70s, early 90s. It's kind of a comedy, but it's about these guys that live in Bloomington, Indiana. And the one guy's obsessed with cycling. They get in the little 500.
Nice. All right. MCTP, I'll admit, at first you were just the... This is awesome, dude. This is such a good email. The last, like, all right, I'm doing a bad job today, but the emailers did a great job. I'll just say that. They did. MCTP, I'll admit, at first you were just the goofy stoner on the show. But over the years, you've had a huge influence on me. Hearing you talk openly about quitting alcohol and the benefits that followed really helped me in my own journey. I want to sincerely thank you. You seem to have such a grounded perspective and a steady approach to life. More than once, I've caught myself thinking, what would MCTP do in this situation?
Dude, that's thank you. That's so cool to hear. Yeah, I'm glad glad you're on this new path. It sounds awesome.
He did my next line, but I just want to reiterate, Ted is one of the friendliest, most down-to-earth people out there. Your read is entirely corrected. He is he's maybe even the only thing I would say that he is in life that he's not on the podcast is he's even funnier and more like even wittier. And thanks, MCTP, dude. Totally agree with you that he comes across as a goofy stoner, but the number one thing about MCTP that sets him apart is I think truly he's the happiest person I know. And that's a choice and a constant effort, not just a natural set point. And so it's been really cool to see that part of him evolve. And I feel like it's like through training his brain that now he truly just nothing gets under his skin. So that's something I really respect him for, that I don't know if that's covered in there, but I think that's kind of what he was trying to say. Okay. Cobb, you've intentionally become my voice of reason. You have this rare mix of eloquence and likability that's hard to come by. Thank you. I hope to work for myself one day, and your entrepreneurial spirit has genuinely made me believe it's possible. After all these hours of listening, it's wild to feel so connected to you guys without ever having met you. I truly hope the podcast continues for decades to come. To you, it might just be a weekly catch-up, but to listeners like me, it's been life-changing. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you've poured into this show. LARP on. Lucas, a.k.a. Killer Jedi.
Nice. Great email, Lucas. Yeah. And Cobb is a great dude, too. Good entrepreneur. God, Jesus. I had my Smith Family popcorn koozie this weekend. Everybody's like, do your cousins follow Cobb? I was like, what? Well, technically, I think they started a little bit before him, but everybody on the West Coast is on your team, dude.
It's like, oh, yeah, they've never spoken. No, dude, the Smiths are awesome. I was actually just recommending it to someone. I can't remember who. Wait, what was I just about to say? Do you guys want to do another one or nah?
Ah, we're good.
Good one to go out on.
That's a, 11 that's years or whatever, well worth it.
Yeah, thanks for writing in, man. We really appreciate those. That really is the payoff for doing the show, so thank you.
Dude, dead serious. If he's riding his bicycle that much, get on that ferry in Anacortes. Go out to Lopez. I mean, it looked like there was like a tournament. There was so many bicyclists, and it's supposed to be like the most bicycle-friendly one or something.
I would believe that. Yeah, Orcas is like just narrow roads.
The little beer garden we were in, like it was all bicyclists, and then us.
Why do you say – I think they're just cyclists.
Instead of, why do I keep saying bicyclists?
Bicyclists. That was surrounded by bicyclists.
Well, most of them were bi as well. They had boyfriends and girlfriends.
Fair. That is a very Seattle cyclist. Of course, the rarer breed of cyclist, the bicyclist. Observed here in the natural habitat.
Yeah, it's like I always say, like my whiskey straight, my friends can be whatever.
What do you want me to say to that?
It takes people a minute. They're like, oh, well, I guess that is a nice thing. All right. Let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, if you're into cycling, I mean, not just that emailer, but one of our longtime listeners, who we knew as Red Bull, he doesn't go by that anymore, but I still call him it. And this is what's maddening, because like every day, like for the past, since I got back from Europe, I just wake up and check his Instagram story, because he's riding his bike from Italy to Amsterdam. And he just got into Switzerland and he's going through the Alps. So it's a really good time to just check in on his story and see some epic stuff from, Switzerland. His handle now is Out of Routine Nomad, all one word, on Instagram. So, yeah, it's an awesome documentation of a wild ass journey that I've been really enjoying. And it's like, I'd usually wake up and think, don't check your phone first thing. And the last few weeks, I was like, fuck it. See what Red Bull's doing. that's how I'm going to start my day. Yeah, this weekend. So Friday, well, Thursday, I just wandered into the golf store with no real agenda, just because I just like to look. And, you know, then the guys, I went to a different one that's more of like a local mom and pop. So the guys started talking to me. At the big corporate one, they're all just waiting for their shift to end, and you can just look unbothered and demo unbothered. And this one, it's like, hey, how you doing? Well, good. Well, what's your miss like? Well, right now I'm missing both ways. It's kind of frustrating. So you're looking to narrow your dispersion. Anyways, after like an hour and a half of talking to this guy.
I'll take nothing.
No, he got me, dude. He got me.
Did he?
In the used section, on sale for $90 off, it's like the 2-year-old model of the TaylorMade Mini Driver, which is a little bit shorter shaft, a little bit more loft, and a little bit smaller club head. And guys that used to play back in the day say it's like a 2-wood, which they don't really make anymore. And
I remember the 2-wood, the old driving iron.
Yeah, the 2-iron. So there's a 2-wood back in the day, too, where, yeah, it's just a little bit more lofted, shorter shaft. I'm a short guy, so I was intrigued when I was reading about it. And for $200 to, you know, he's like, you can demo it for 2 days and bring it back, and you'll get a full refund, not just store credit. We'll put it right back on the car. I was like, all right, you got me, man. Like, I got to get my car worked on tomorrow. So, and then I'll play with someone on Saturday. So then I was like, all right, I'm going to make a tee time at the course that's like 7 minutes away from the auto shop. And then the shuttle from the shop just took me and my club. I showed up with my clubs. I'm like, can you show me over to Eagle Falls?
Like, that's awesome. That's desert living, baby. Like,
that is.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I got this club that I'm demoing. It's a 48-hour window to test it out. So, you said it was a 5-hour job. And so then I went and played a new course that's attached to one of the casinos. So it was something that I'd like seen when I go to the casino. And it was a really fun track. It was in really good shape. I liked the club a lot. My irons weren't behaving. My putter wasn't behaving. But that mini driver was just like sweet. And I just don't hit it out of bounds as much. You keep real score, hitting it out of bounds really fucks you. And so like to not hit it out of bounds, and like on my good drives, I could get 20 yards, 30 yards further than this thing.
Let the mini driver eat.
Yeah, there's a lot of times that I don't hit my driver perfectly. So this thing's just more forgiving, keeps me in play, and when I get a hold of it, it still, you know, gets a lot of distance. So I loved it, and then Saturday I played at my work with my buddy Max, who I've talked about. It was his first round ever, and I was just like, dude, we got to play Saturday. You finally got a putter. You finally got some wedges and a hybrid. You're ready to rock. Like, we need to go out Saturday because I got to try out this new club. And I got it for 48 hours. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun showing him the, you know, for his first time ever playing actual golf. We've been going to the range for like probably over a year at this point together. And he's like slowly built up his set of clubs and everything, and some from me, some from the used section of the super PGA Superstore. And so, yeah, it was cool. You know, it was a fun, like, little accomplishment moment in that journey. And he had a great time. I was still crushing the mini driver, so I didn't bring it back. And then, yeah, just been having a real good time with that. I played two more times since yesterday and today, and yeah, it's gonna be a fun addition. So pretty stoked on that, and I do drive a mini, like, for my car, so I'm a mini driver with a mini driver.
Nice.
I just,
well, dude, I was, yeah, like, that's why I texted you on Sunday. It's I'm sitting at this house, we're waiting, our flight's not till later, and we're watching golf, and like Scottie Scheffler lines up that shot. And I just look at Brad, I go, I know he's the best in the world. Wouldn't it be awesome if he just duffed this? Bob, this little chip, what was it, 30 feet away, 40 yeah. feet from the rough, it just sinks it. Basically, like, the tournament wasn't over, but you knew he was going to win. And I just look at Brad, I go, of course. Why? What in my mind thought I could even chirp him from TV from a completely different area? Oh, wouldn't it be cool if he duffed it and he sinks it in?
And that's why so we're number funny. One.
Right. I mean, literally, I couldn't type Matt quick enough. Just like, Scotty's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the cheap seats, Mr. Smith.
I have two friends and I hit them both. You and my buddy Phil. I was like, I know those two are the only other people that probably just saw that shot on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I've grown to like him more. You know, he's so chill. That it almost seems, and then he's so dominant that it almost seems boring. And he's so yeah. dominant that him winning almost gets boring, like it did with Max Verstappen. Except I've always liked Scotty more than Max Verstappen, but that's not saying much. And so, you know, he is just like, he's really good. And then seeing him in some interviews, he was great in Happy Gilmore too. It's just like, yeah, you just got to enjoy the ride when there's this kind of greatness on display in someone's career.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, at the end of the day, any dynasty gets a little bit that way, right?
Yeah.
It's like, now that it's been a few years, you don't hear people talking about how much they hate the Patriots. But everybody was just so sick of seeing them in Super Bowls.
Right.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, 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 boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Matt, the Venn diagram of people who are into metal and who are into like high-end golf, like that's a pretty small little niche that you inhabit, my guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty small. Go ahead.
I noticed.
Yeah. Speaking of rock. what?
Sorry. Right. You don't talk to a lot of guys that are obsessed with golf in a good way and wear hate breed cutoffs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Right. Like, hate breed cutoffs talking about a mini driver. Like, you know who you are, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah, that's a fully flourishing man.
I like what I like.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I honestly respect it. It's like, he knows what he's about, dude. He's about that action. Like, fight me. All right. So, you guys are familiar with the All American Rejects, how they're doing a house tour right now?
Yeah. They played a Sheets.
They've been playing it. Yeah, a bunch of people's houses, cops have been shutting it down. It's been absolute madness. But like I was saying earlier about the punk shows in the tunnels beneath Austin, you know, rock, punk, pop punk, it's coming back. I think it's a reaction to what's going on politically. Who knows? But, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth. So anyway, I've just started to notice the groundswell of punk coming back. And I think that it's a lot bigger than most people realize. And by the time it, like, you know, pops mainstream, it's going to be a massive beast and very cool. Very excited to see. I love rock music. So the cop topic this week is, what is booming way more than people think? So I always like to catch trends early, but yeah, what's booming way more than people think? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. Currently, there's an 81% chance your email will be read on air, unless you say not for on air, in which case you're like Carson talking to me about a cold plunge for a week and a half. but we've been going back and forth, just chirping, getting this stuff set up. It's actually awesome. But yeah, so what's booming way more than people think? Boys?
I don't know what's new and up and coming. I do have a theory that some of this EDM stuff is going to tail off.
It's tailing off already, dude. They're having clubs are having trouble paying the high, you know, prices that DJs are charging, for sure.
Yeah, and it seems like, and granted, I've gotten older, but it seems like that scene has changed a little bit too.
Oh yeah, bro. I mean, now as you get into some of the subgenres, it's still pretty banging. But as far as like the, you know, like the pop side of like house music, it's, you know, pretty commercialized, some of it.
Right. And it's bad because I love house and trance, but like everybody kind of hates on it. And then I just don't like the new trend of like every festival, like filming any dude in their 40s, not all festivaled out, has to be a cop. It's like, man, like some people now are like, dude, like you're being an ass. Like that guy just happens to be in his 40s. Like not everybody's going to be in a spirit hood and,
you know, I like cargo shorts.
Right? It's like the one guy, I just watched the interaction and the guy's just like, oh, it's a cop. And I was like, I don't think that guy is an undercover. I think he's just a dude trying to enjoy the show.
Yeah. He's got on Court Classics and white tall tube socks, but it just is what it is. And tube socks are coming back now anyway.
I will say one thing that's getting bigger, and I know I'm going to sound like a homer and I'm against these giant conferences, but, man, college football the last couple of years, this year, seems bigger than it's ever been with these crazy matchups every week.
Dude, and the NIL deals.
Yeah.
It's getting like insane.
Teams are getting good. You can just blatantly spend money. And like, I always love college football, but like, I knew a lot of dudes that worked in sports radio and I'm like, why don't you talk more college football? They're like, we don't get in. It doesn't move the needle enough. And now like you see, like it matters massively again, which I think is awesome. You know, like I always say, like, I love football, but I also like the idea of having sports all year round. You change seasons. I'm like, hey, people love football. I think it's good to see NFL people getting into college stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you. I prefer college football, and some of the matchups are just getting insane. I mean, it's true powerhouse showdowns. And now, I mean, of course, SEC ball is absolutely crazy. The week-to-week matchups are just insane at this point. The fan base is everything. But now with the college playoff, it's like watching a car crash in slow motion. I mean, it is just gladiatorial titans that you never think would play each other. And you're just like, well, we'll see what happens. And granted, like, you know, there were some mismatches last year, but like, as they start to get that dialed in, man, it's just, you know, it's more content for me and the boys. So I say, let college football eat.
Let it thrive.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I've been using beef tallow for like cosmetics for a while, like for shaving cream and soap and shampoo and stuff. And the shampoo bar I use is beef tallow and that stuff, methylene blue. And like tallow skincare has just like blown up in the past 3 years. I just had to scroll down like 8 pages of Google to find the place that I always order my shampoo from, because now there's all these other like tallow methylene blue bars of soap out there. And it used to be, you know, they're probably not paying Google, it's a small like operation, but it was the only place that that obscure thing existed, so it was always on the top page of Google. 8 pages down today. So, damn. Methylene blue and beef tallow skincare are definitely booming. I don't know how many people know. I mean, enough people know about it that there's all these new proprietors popping up. But
you don't want to give your boys at Meraki a shout?
Meraki's great. I use their balm and I take their actual methylene blue. The bars I use are called Foxy bars. And I just had to order more hair styling clay from Earthwave. Those are the, three of the seven different brands that I use for all my random different stuff. The shaving cream's a different brand. I like supporting small businesses. What can I say? Spread it around a little bit. There's not one stop shop. I've experimented with this like full blown like a crazy amount for the past like 3, 4 years now. So yeah, I've tested a lot of the marketplace, I thought, and then I was like, damn, dude, this is getting even crazier.
Dude, you're right. Beef tallow is amazing for your skin.
I would say just random kind of supplements that people never thought to take too. And I think it's good.
That they're booming. Oh,
EC157.
yeah.
Yeah. Like what have I been on lately? Like some mushroom coffees and then milk thistle every day.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm on probably eight different things, but yeah, thiamine, L-tyrosine, magnesium, glycinate, creatine, like. I don't know if they're working or not, but I do feel good.
Dude, you know what I'll put in there simply is just a green tea. I drink a green tea every day, right? Just green tea, no sugar, not, like you can put a little honey in it. And somebody was like, "Is it working?" I go, "Look, I don't know. I just know my numbers at the doctor are better. I think it was a combination of bad food, stress, and stuff that got me there. So let's use a combination of stuff to combat it. Like I don't know if it's one thing or whatever, but I swear by it now. Like, yeah, get a green tea every day. You know,
Dude,
take it."
I'm totally on board with you. I'm all about the placebo effect. Like for me, at this point, I've gone full circle. I was full science, and now I'm like, hey, if it makes me feel good, even psychologically, I'm down. Like maybe that is the benefit, And so if it feels like I'm doing something, that's fi totally fine by me.
Yeah, right.
I added resveratrol to my shake, like, and I got it in powder form. And I didn't like the packaging it came in, so I was like, oh, I'll just put it in a jar. And I put it in a jar that we had just washed and put through the dishwasher and everything. And I didn't test it, and it was a jalapeno jar, and that
Oh
smell did not go away in one
no.
wash. Every time I'm like, God damn it. The other one with applesauce did the same thing, but the applesauce one smells good. The jalapenos, I'm like, Jesus. It gets me early in the morning, just catches me off guard.
Dude, Matt, that feels like one of those stories where like someone invents a new drug. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's jalapeno resveratrol. It actually works four times as effectively. Like, that's how we solved anti-aging. It's like some dude in Palm Springs. Like, did he patent it? It's like, no, his evil twin did. It's like, dude, you've heard that story so many times. That's awesome.
He gets his beef tallow from Sherman's.
Dude, that's the dream.
All
It's like, I know
right.
it's back there.
Right. Hook me up. All right, there you go. I think Cobb's gone next week. Matt and I'll be here. Yeah, that's all the
Ted,
updates. Don't
you
forget.
say it with a little respect on. I'll be at Burning Man.
Yeah, well, I mean, right. You'll be doing something awesome. Also remind people September 6th, 20th anniversary of the men's room. We'll be out at Black Raven. $20 get you a glass and a koozie. Finally got them to make us a koozie.
Nice.
So hopefully see people out at that. And then yeah, Cobb, have fun down in the desert. Don't well, do everything I would do.
Copy.
From CTP for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.